be discussing propazine and glyphosate combinations and Roundup Ready Flex systems. In 2007, 45% of the cotton acres planted on the Texas Southern High Plains were planted into Roundup Ready Flex cotton. And because of this and the increasingly numerous acres that are planted into Flex cotton, a lot of farmers are going to more glyphosate-only herbicide programs or relying more on glyphosate. And as my colleagues from Georgia have demonstrated already today and have told us, glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth populations have started to pop up in other states. And previous research has been done on the Texas Southern High Plains, and it has evaluated residual herbicides for improved Palmer amaranth and ivy leaf morning glory control. The chemical we're going to be looking at that my study was over was propazine, or Miloprro, as some of you may know it. It's a symmetrical triazine, a photosynthetic inhibitor, and absorbed principally through the plant roots. It's in the same family as atrazine, but the main difference between propazine and atrazine is the fact that propazine has very little post-emergence activity, where atrazine does have more of that. It was originally registered as Miloguard in the 1960s, and it was used very widely throughout the United States as a pre-emergence herbicide for selective weed control in sorghum. It lost its registration in the late 80s, and in 2007, it was re-registered. And although it's not currently registered in cotton, it's believed that it can make a very valuable tank mix partner with glyphosate for cotton producers. The objectives of this study are to evaluate the post-emergent applications of glyphosate alone or in combination with propazine for improved control of Palmer amaranth and ivy leaf morning glory, to compare post-application timings and propazine rates in combination with glyphosate and Roundup Ready Flex cotton, and to determine effects of propazine alone and in combination with glyphosate on cotton growth and yield. There were three studies that were conducted in 2007, the first of which being the Palmer amaranth management. Palmer amaranth on the Texas Southern High Plains is a very prolific weed species. It's a very problematic weed species. It always has been. It is the major weed pest of concern for farmers on the Texas Southern High Plains. The second test that was conducted was ivy leaf morning glory. And while it's a very troublesome weed, it doesn't have the potential to emerge as much season-long as Palmer amaranth does. So it's a very troublesome weed, but Palmer amaranth is the major weed species of concern on the Southern High Plains. And the third test that was conducted was a cotton tolerance test. This test was simply to check and see how a good clean cotton field would react to the propazine. And the site was chosen because of its weed-free tendencies, and we just wanted to see how the cotton would react to the propazine. In 2007, it was a very wet year on the High Plains. As you can see, we had received a little over 13 inches between the months of May and September, the crucial growing months, and the 30-year average is about 9 inches. This rainfall was still supplemented with two irrigations in July and August of approximately 3 inches apiece. This test consisted basically of 9 treatments. The first was a trifluralin only, and that's what's going to be considered the control for this test. The second was a glyphosate alone, and the next three, as you can see on the screen, was the glyphosate in combination with propazine. The glyphosate rates stayed constant throughout this test at 22 ounces per acre, and the propazine rates were the only ones that were differing because that's what we were looking at here. All of these, the glyphosate and the glyphosate-propazine combinations were applied at either an early post or a mid-post timing. They were not applied sequentially on the plots. They were applied on separate plots. That's important to note that. This test was laid out in a randomized complete block design with 3 replications. The plot sizes were 4 rows by 30 feet. The application equipment was a tractor-mounted compressed air sprayer. A Red Ball hooded spray rig was used later in the season on the morning glory test simply because the cotton was so large, and to get in there with the regular tractor mounted, the compressed air sprayer would have been impossible because of its size. It would have tore up the cotton. All these sprayers were calibrated to 10 gallons per acre. The cotton variety was 9058 Flex, planted in early June and harvested in late October. The first study was the Palmer amaranth study. The early post-treatment was applied June 14th at a crop stage of cotyledon to 1 leaf and the Palmer amaranth to 6 to 8 inches. The mid-post was applied June 29th. The cotton was about 2 to 4 leaves and the Palmer amaranth was 12 to 14 inches. And you may be kind of wondering why we waited so long with this Palmer amaranth being so large as it was. Early on in the season, if you remember from that irrigation slide, we got the field was wet early on in the season. It made it very difficult for us to get into the field with being so wet and make those timings when we wanted to and when it would have been more practical with a smaller weed size. I'll kind of set up this slide first because all my graphs are arranged in a similar fashion here. Along the horizontal axis on the bottom is going to be all my treatments. Along the vertical or y-axis is going to be my percent control. And as you can see over on the right-hand side, the two colors, there's a 14 and a 28 day after treatment rating. Those are denoted by the two different colored bars in the key on the right-hand side. This early post, you look, there wasn't really any difference between the 14 and the 28 day rating. And the main one to look at here is the glyphosate and the glyphosate-propazine combination. Once again, there's no significant difference between any of the propazine combinations, any of the different propazine rates. And it's also important to point out on this one, the PPI only, the trifluralin that I was talking about, that's going to be treated as used as my control over on the left-hand side. With just a triflan alone, it controlled the pigweed 75%. And at this mid-post timing, it kind of tells the same story once again. You can see the controls declined a little bit on the PPI or on the control. And still no differences between the 14 and 28 day rating and no difference between the glyphosate and glyphosate propazine combinations. It's also important to notice while there was no difference between the glyphosate and glyphosate propazine combinations, the propazine was not antagonistic to the glyphosate. And it didn't inhibit the control of the glyphosate. So it's important to notice that. This picture here is a good illustration. It's a shot taken directly from the test, and it's a good illustration to show the weed pressure that was in this field. If I can get my mouse here. This section of the picture up here, you can see there's a high infestation of pigweed on this test. That treatment there was no triflan, no glyphosate, nothing. That's just the natural population of the pigweed. You can see the heavy population that was in this field. And this square back here, this plot right here, the top of the screen, was a triflan only. And as you see on that graph from the first part, it exhibited 75% control. So you see, even with just the application of triflan, there's still quite a bit of difference between these two plots. And this plot here in the foreground was a triflan and a glyphosate or glyphosate propazine combination. You can see that shows 100% control there. This August 6 rating here was made since the control had declined at this point. We decided that a sequential application of glyphosate was needed on all of these plots. And that's what we did here. Instead of a 14-28 day rating, we just have an early and a mid post over here on the right-hand side. And as the control had declined a little bit, still no difference between the glyphosate and glyphosate propazine combinations, though. After the sequential application of Roundup, every plot jumped to 100% control with that second application. You see the control, the PPI alone, still around 35%. And here's another example of that same field later in the season. You can see in the top left-hand corner of this picture, some of the natural population we're working with no triflan. See the plot with triflan only, and here in the front with triflan and a glyphosate or glyphosate propazine combination, exhibiting 100% control even late in the season. The lint is telling, once again, the same story we've seen on these other graphs. The PPI alone, a little over 400 pounds to the acre, and the glyphosate and glyphosate-propazine combinations ranging from 1,000 to 1,200 pounds per acre. That's still no significant difference between the glyphosate and glyphosate-propazine combinations. The next test that was conducted was an ivy leaf morning glory study. This study, as with the rest of them, was conducted on the station there just north of Lubbock at the Texas AgriLife Research Center. And this site was chosen because of its high infestation of morning glory. The early post application on this one went out June 18th when the cotton was at a cotyledon stage and the morning glory was 1 to 3 inches. And the mid post went out June 29th, 5 to 8 leaf stage and 5 to 6 inch morning glory. On this one, the early post rating, you can see that the PPI or the trifluralin only treatment on this one exhibited no control over the morning glory because it's a larger seeded plant and the 14 to 28 day rating here, while there was no significant difference between the treatments, there was a slight trend noticed. If you'll see with the addition of propazine, it trended toward better control. But like I said, there was no significant difference but a trend towards control, and still no difference between the glyphosate and glyphosate propazine combinations. Now, we did notice when applying the glyphosate or glyphosate-propazine combinations at the mid-post timing, it was it did hurt the control by waiting to that larger stage, by waiting to that 5 to 8 inch morning glory stage, you did lose a little bit of control. So it is beneficial to, whether you're going to apply glyphosate or glyphosate propazine in this test. When it was applied, it was more beneficial to do it at the earlier stage while the morning glory was smaller. And no difference between the 14 to 28 day rains on this one, and no difference between the glyphosate and glyphosate propazine combinations either. This rating was taken before the sequential application of Roundup. On this one, we noticed that the control was declining once again, so a sequential application of Roundup was needed. Still no difference between the glyphosate and glyphosate propazine combinations. On a one after the glyphosate application, control did jump back up closer to that 90% range where we like to see it, mid-90s. Still no difference between the glyphosate, no significant difference between the glyphosate and glyphosate propazine combination, but there is, once again, we do kind of see that trend with a trend of that rate response with the propazine, kind of see control edging up a little bit there towards the end. And the third test that was conducted on this trial was the cotton tolerance test. And this site was chosen, like the others were, because of its propensity to be more weed-free. This test was there on station. It was cultivated throughout the year and hoed by myself to keep it truly weed-free, just so we could see how the propazine itself would react with the cotton. That's also important to note on this one, along with the propazine and glyphosate combinations that we did on the other test, there was also a propazine alone at the three different rates, the 1 pint, pint and a half, and the 2 pint rates. Propazine alone was applied to this test in addition to the other ones. And the early post applications were applied June 26th from a 2-3 leaf stage, and the mid post was applied July 12th at the 8-9 leaf stage. Now, we did notice on this test that there was, with the propazine alone treatments here on the bottom, there was a little intervenal chlorosis noticed early. And noticed early, the propazine alone injury seemed to show up more earlier on the plants. And you can see there was a little bit with the glyphosate. Moving on to this mid-post timing, the glyphosate and propazine combination seemed that when we add the propazine to the glyphosate, it seemed to make it hotter, or we saw more injury from the propazine when we added it to Roundup. And you can see this exhibited right here. And you can also tell on the side of the graph, these are 7 and 14 day ratings, but by the 28 day rating on all of these tests, on all plots, by the 28 day rating, all injury levels were zero. So while we did see a little early season injury, that chlorosis was pretty minimal, and greatest was 10%. Like I said, by 28 days, all of those were zeros. This is a picture of what we saw. You can see how small the plant is. You see the intervenal chlorosis there. Once again, by 28 days, there was no visible injury on any of the plants. The yields on the tolerance itself range from anywhere from right below 1,200 pounds to a little over 1,400 pounds to the acre. So once again, no difference between the glyphosate or the propazine alone or the glyphosate-propazine combination. The addition of propazine to glyphosate did not improve end-of-season Palmer amaranth or ivy leaf morning glory control. And by delaying the initial glyphosate post-application, it did not affect Palmer amaranth control. However, ivy leaf morning glory control was reduced. And early season cotton injury was observed with greater rates, but it had no effect on yield. And by that 28 day, like I said, there was no injury. All of these studies will be repeated in 2008. An evaluation of propazine compared to other post options such as staple, dual, and prowl. And an economic analysis will be performed to determine the most economical option of these. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions for our speaker?
What was that? No, sir. The surfactant that came, we used Roundup WeatherMax on this, and it came with the surfactant, so there was no addition of. And the propazine alone? No, sir. There was not. Water and propazine, yes, sir. Remember if there was around the propazine application? No, there was not. We sprayed some Merit later in the season for some aphid control, but all the propazine applications were already applied by that point. They were applied early in the season, and the insecticide treatments were not applied close to the propazine applications. Yes, sir, it is.
What effect did that have on your study?
Well, he asked, what effect did the late planting date have on our study? Well, I'm not sure. I don't even know if I would say it had a major effect on it. We had to plant late. We originally got hailed out. Originally, that's why we had to go back and replant. That's why there was such a late planting date. I'm not sure. I don't know if that if you could say that it did impact the study any.
The yields
were pretty good. The yield, yeah, exactly. The rainfall was there, and the yields were still very good on the study, so we felt like it was a good study.
Other questions? Let's thank our speaker.
Good job.